The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Boxing Day's action because that's the next instalment in the racing calendar. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, Mark Walton. I'm very well. I'm looking forward to the festive festival of gluttony. I think that's what it is. That's what it's called, isn't it?
Of course, yes. Yeah. It's not Christmas, is it?
No, it's not. No. No. It's where we all spend our money, eat our food, and get steadily drunker and fatter.
Yeah.
And then come January, everyone signs up for a gym membership and makes promises they can't keep. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it all.
Yeah. It's complete indulgence followed by attempted famine. Is that right? Yeah.
Attempted repentance and retribution.
Yes. And then ultimate failure, really.
Yeah.
Because by mid-January, everyone's fed up and just stops going to the gym.
Yeah, although I'm more than happy with, you know, being a betting man, I'm more than happy with highs and lows. Consistency is not my forte. That scares me.
Yeah.
It scares me just doing the same thing. I'd much prefer indulgence and then repentance. That's much better.
Yeah. It's more exciting that way.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably, you know, mentally, it's quite tiring.
Yeah, I imagine it is, yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, that's the racing game, isn't it? Ups and downs. One moment you're up, the next you're down.
Yeah.
Then you're up.
And then you're down.
No, you've got the hang of it, Mark. You've got the hang of it.
I've got to take it up, yeah. What we'll do is we'll have a quick look back at the weekend in the Monday jury questions in the Racing Post. Then we'll have a little bit of a look ahead to some of the big racing at Kempton on Boxing Day. A marvellous Boxing Day coming up with the racing at Kempton. You've got racing over in Ireland. Weatherby, where I'll be there. If anybody wants to come down and see me make a fool of myself in the paddock.
What, Christmas Day?
On Boxing Day.
Yeah, you will make a fool of yourself in the paddock. Yeah. Who's that guy?
Where's all the horses?
Yeah, for racing fans, Christmas Day is Christmas Eve, isn't it? If you know what I mean. They're like, oh, can't wait for tomorrow. People are like, but it's Christmas today. And they're like, yeah, exactly. Tomorrow's great.
Boxing Day Eve.
I love waking up on I'm usually in here. I'm in here again. So waking up on Boxing Day, making a turkey sandwich, getting some old roast potatoes out of the cupboard. Been there for weeks.
From last Christmas.
Yep. Yeah. And then sitting down, going through the cards and watching my bets lose.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Boxing Day's usually quite good, as long as you're selective.
Yeah. Don't have a bet in every race, because there are about 400 races.
No, you can't even bet in 10% of them.
No. But, yeah, good. Let's have a quick look back at the weekend then before we move on to Boxing Day. How impressed were you with Underskew over in Ireland? Do you think he deserves to be Arkle favourite on the back of that?
I'm going to answer that as two questions.
Okay.
One, very, very impressed. Love him. I mean, he rattles along at a pace that a lot of horses can't keep up for half a mile, never mind 2 miles.
Yeah. Pulling Ruby's arms out, weren't he? All the way around, pretty much.
But there wasn't even a moment where you're like, oh, he's going to, you know, it was, he's got that rhythm down to perfection, I think. However, in the Arkle, you can't do that. It just doesn't work. It's all well and good winning novice chases around in Ireland with no opposition, but the time and time again, we've seen horses who run like that and look like machines, and then they go to Cheltenham, they get to the bottom of the hill, and bang, they get outstayed. So I can see why he is Arkle favourite, but I won't be touching him.
Okay, well, he's not Arkle favourite with us.
Right,
he's second favourite. Vortor's 3-1, Underscore is 7-2, and then 8's not bigger for the others. But
what's the next three in after that?
Petty Zig is 8-1, 10's for Jossie's Hill and Valsalido, and 14's for Godzone and Vibrato Valtat. 16's are bigger for the others.
Yeah, so you could see Jossie's Hill and the horse that beat him the other day,
Petty Zig,
yeah. You could see either of those outstaying Underscore if they could just sit in, if they jump just as well and don't make any mistakes, then Of course, yeah, there's potential for it taking other horses out of the comfort zone. But there's also potential for other horses taking Under Sir out of the comfort zone. So well and good bowling along. I get the feeling he's a horse, when everything goes well, he's going to be fantastic. But I can almost see one mistake putting pay to everything.
Yeah. My reservation as well would be, I know he's only had two spins over the bigger obstacles, but he's not the slickest of jumpers at times. And if he is getting taken on up front at a rattling pace, he's not the most reliable prospect over fences.
I just see him as potentially an all or nothing. Yeah. Like you said, in terms of when he's in that zone, he'll be unbeatable. But when he's out of that zone, you can see him just completely bombing out. Yeah, it'd be intriguing.
Mm. Could Rev de Sivola make his presence felt in the world hurdle again?
Again, well, unlikely, I say again, isn't it?
Yeah. He didn't. Wait, finished fourth last year?
Yes. Yeah. He's got a disappointing record in the race. But obviously, he loves the long walk and, you know, a bit like Lochdurg. And a lot of horses have their preferred conditions and a slog in the mud around Ascot or similar tracks to that. I mean, Punchestown, he's got a good record at Punchestown as well. Again, just Cheltenham just doesn't, whether it doesn't suit him or it just suits his rivals better,
yeah,
remains to be argued, I suppose. He's a fantastic horse, but
yeah, he's not going to get the same conditions at Cheltenham anyway. Is he, March? He's not going to get a bog like he probably needs or really testing conditions.
It's not going to be for him, I don't think.
No.
So no.
No.
But fantastic to see him win.
Yeah, I mean, he's put himself in some illustrious company there, hasn't he? The likes of Big Bucks and Barracuda have won it three times before. It's a remarkable feat, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
No, it is. Yeah, I have no arguments.
Yeah. At which festival race would you aim the young master?
I honestly don't know. It's a tough one because he's progressing so well. Probably, it depends because I think he could easily win the 4 miler, quite easily. He's just that kind of horse. I mean, he had a couple of worrying moments at the weekend where he lost concentration but he still absolutely burst clear down the home straight. And horses who progress well through handicaps do really well when they get to the 4 miler. That class edge and that toughness really do come to the fore. And over the past few years, the better horses have come to the fore in that race. So I think he should win the 4 miler. But however, it's much more prestigious to win an RSA. And you think, well, while we're on such a roll, why would we wait? If you're going to peak this season, which he potentially could do, like Hunt Ball did, if you're going to peak, you might as well peak at the best possible race you can go for. So I certainly wouldn't put them off going for the RSA. So I think he will win the 4 miler if he goes, but if he was mine, I might be inclined to go for the RSA just to see what we've got. So I would aim at the RSA, but...
Well, it's the more prestigious option. If you've got a horse good enough, you've got to try, haven't you?
Yeah, but then do you want a winner at the festival or do you want a third at the festival? So,
but do you want a winner at the festival in the 4 miler and think, well, we could have gone for the RSA?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah. Fair enough. Okay, so which one? Which would you go for?
I would go for the RSA.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean I'd think they will.
No. I would personally go for the RSA.
Yeah, let's do
it. If you've got a horse good enough, give it a crack, don't you?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You don't want to die wondering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to get that tattooed. Don't die wondering.
No.
Go for the RSA.
Nice. What is your idea of the William Hill King George the Sixth Chase winner then? I've got betting on site and it's non-runner money back and best odds guaranteed. What more do you want? Oh, that's a Christmas present right there. El Savini Arco Conti is 5-2, 100-30 for Champagne Fever, Alpha Off 6-1, 8s for Q Card and Dynast, 17-2 for Menorah, and then 25-1 or bigger for the others.
I don't know. Well, no, again, there's a lot of contrasting things because Silvini Arco Conti, that race last time at Haydock, everything went right for him. He loves the track, he loves the race, he'd had a prep run, he jumped beautifully, he was always in a good position.
Yep.
And all his rivals made mistakes or things went wrong for them. Q Card wouldn't settle and couldn't jump. And clearly Daryl Jacob hasn't found the key to him like Joe Tizzard did. Dynast was a bit keen, a bit fresh, a bit out. He was never in a great position, but he plugged on to finish third.
Yep.
Don't think Menorah will stay as well as them, even though he's in seemingly the form of his life again this year. Alpha Roth intrigues me because I always thought he would be a King George horse, And it's almost this year he's kind of got ignored because he's avoided the usual path.
Yeah.
And because he got beaten it last year. But I actually don't... I like horses who get beat in a race and then come back the next year and they're potentially a little bit better. They know what's expected of them. And they go, right, okay, it's this again. I know, you know, you learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alfa Roth could potentially peak this season. So I would go for Alfa Roth.
Well, there's an interesting piece about Alfa Roth in the paper, isn't there? As we record this on Monday, saying that he's had stomach ulcers and obviously beaten a long way in the race last year. But he was pretty impressive at Ascot this time round.
Very.
They reckon he's the dark horse. Or the owner Hales reckons he's the dark horse, and
well, that's what I mean.
I'd be willing to find out at 6-1.
Yeah, I agree. With doubts over Q Card and Dynast, who was very well beaten in this last year, and Silvian Alcaconte. Like I said, I'd rather try and get a horse when I think he's going to peak, as opposed to see a horse peak and go right, I'll back him next time out, because it can't possibly go as well as it did at Haydock last year, and I'm not sure it could go as well as it did at Kempton last year either for Silvian Alcaconte. So it might well be that things still go wrong for every other horse, but I'll take a chance on Alfa Roth.
Okay.
Peak him.
What do you make of Champagne Fever? Second favourite at 130. Willie Mullins doesn't mean that. I mean, he doesn't sound that confident about his chances, really. So
yeah. I'm not even convinced he's going to turn up.
Mm.
He said when he won at Clonmel that, you know, if he gets 3 miles, it'll be at Kempton. But there seems to be this consensus that it's an easy, like a bit of a stroll round.
I know, yeah.
Whereas it never works out that way.
If you look at the winners of the King George, they're all stayers, real stayers.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's an odd one. It's an intriguing subplot, but I'd be surprised.
Okay. So we're taking a chance on Alfa Roth then at 6-1 at the moment. We'll also look at the WilliamHill.com Christmas hurdle, where Forheen is 4-9, 4-1 for Irving, Sign of a Victory is 13-2, 14-1 for Purple Bay, and 20s or bigger for the others. Forheen 4-9, he's a machine, isn't he? But would you take 4-9 about him winning this?
I mean, I wouldn't, but I wouldn't lay him either. So yeah. if I was down the rails at Kempton and people couldn't go, can I have $9,000 on, please? I wouldn't be necessarily snapping the hand off. I'd say, how have you got $9,000 in here without anyone noticing? You know, in your Sainsbury's bag.
Yeah.
Other supermarkets are available for carrying money. but yeah, it's nice to see he's finally starting to get a bit of a test, though. I mean, Irving, Purple Bay, and Sign of Victory are all good enough to potentially step up. I mean, Irving should be unbeaten this season. He should have won the Elite. He did win last time out over at Newcastle. And he's only young. And I think people get the feeling he's certainly not classy in the sense that Forheen is, but he's a bit of a grinder. Sign of Victory is just a complete question mark. I mean, he won so easily last time out, you just have no idea what's going to happen. But it's just a completely different race. And if he comes off the bridle, then what?
Yeah.
That's the question for him. And Purple Bay is actually, he's only rated £3 inferior to Forheen after that win last time out. And he's always been a very classy horse. But Irving might have beat him last time out if he'd have stood up. So I think Forheen will win. It's just another one where everyone goes, well, this might improve, this might do that, this might. And Forheen just goes, well, I'll just do what I normally do. And you guys can fight it out for second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no problems. Everything's in his favour. And just that winning attitude, it's just incredible.
I'm really looking forward to that race because Forheen's just a sight to behold. And Sign of a Victory is just pitched so much higher in class, but we don't know how good he could be. Mm. That's the thing. He could, if Forheen and him are swinging away at the last, neither of them's come off the bridle yet, what a race that'd turn into.
Yeah, exactly. So that's that. Yeah, I think this is the key race that I'm looking forward to this festive period.
Mm.
Even though there's a short price favourite, it doesn't look competitive necessarily. I just want to see good horses beat other good horses. And I just love slick hurdlers. I love speedy slick hurdlers.
Yeah.
There's just something so satisfying about watching them.
I agree.
So so looking forward to Forheen.
Yeah, aside from that, anything else you're looking forward to? Any horses in particular looking forward to over Christmas?
I've no idea about them. There's going to be so many of them. You have to set aside the next 3 days to go through them.
Yeah.
Once I put the turkey in, that's it. It'll get burnt.
I'm only in the fourth race. It can't be done yet.
There's a class six at Wolverhampton here.
Good stuff, anyway. Thank you very much, Ross. Have a good Christmas and enjoy Boxing Day.
You too, Mr. Walton.
There you go. The thoughts of Ross Briley on some of the racing over Christmas. We'll be back on Boxing Day. We'll have Mick Norton and Chris Pimlott in the studio to bring you all of the action. Plenty of meetings. A fantastic card at Kempton, the William Hill sponsored card there. We've also got a good card at Weatherby, also sponsored by William Hill, and great racing elsewhere. Good card at Chepstow. There's good racing over in Ireland from Leopardstown and a whole host of meetings. So make sure you tune in for a Christmas cracker on Boxing Day.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.